Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite team, The Fan, on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
Oh, boy. 304, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. On this Football Friday, we opened the show talking a little bit of football, which was mainly just me complaining about how bad these teams are and how we are right here on the last Football Friday that, well, hopefully not, but what could very well be the last meaningful Football Friday of the season for these two teams, because 0-3 is something that, one, most teams aren't good enough to come back from. And certainly the New York Giants and Jets are one of those teams that you can't imagine coming back from 0-3. Hopefully they can find a way, one of them. And my guess would be the Jets have the best chance to do so. Give us a chance to have a season still. But let's turn our attention to baseball a little bit at 888-808-1019. I was asked a question about the MVP. I guess we'll do that first because it's literally responding to a caller. And then we'll get to the two games before we get to picks around 3:45 here and taking your baseball calls at 888-808-1019. Look, I did a little bit of a rant on it the other day. I feel differently than most Yankee fans do. I do. I don't think there's any question. And so you can give me all the stats you want. Like, there's no doubt. Aaron Judge is the better hitter by a mile, having the better overall statistical season. It's indisputable. Outside of home runs and RBIs, he literally beats Cal Raleigh not just by a little. He beats Cal Raleigh by a lot. He's going to win the batting title. OPS, OPS plus, total bases, like you name it. Outside of home runs and RBIs, Aaron Judge leads in everything. And again, if I were voting today, I would vote for Aaron Judge. But here's my only thing that I will say. And I know they tried to make this on the Fox broadcast last night, that he's broken some records. I do put a lot of value on the catcher position. It is a defensive first position. And, you know, growing up in the 90s, there was a lot of offense coming from catchers. You had Pudge Rodriguez. You had Jorge Posada. You had Javi Lopes, right? Why am I feel like I'm not saying his right name in Atlanta?
No, that was Javi Lopes, Braves.
Yeah, with the Braves. Javi Lopes, who hit 40-plus home runs. Like, there were a lot of offensive catchers for a time. It is rare. I know Salvador Perez has had a couple of big-time years here. Not in the last couple, but Salvador Perez is a borderline Hall of Famer and is an offensive threat and an MVP of the World Series, as the Mets know. Like, there's been a handful. That's why I was so high on Gary Sanchez all those years ago, because Gary Sanchez was like the one catcher who hit 35 home runs every year or hit 30 home runs every year. Like, he was the power threat at the position. We do not see a lot of great offensive players at the catcher position. They are few and far between. He is a Platinum Glove winner. Now, that's a previous season, but he's still a very good defensive catcher. I put premium on that. It's not just he's a better fielder. Like, if he was a great first baseman, I'd be like, okay, I know he's a good first baseman. It's first base. If he was a great corner outfielder, even better than Judge, I wouldn't be like, well, he's a better defensive player. Shortstop, center field are 2 and 3, and number one is catcher. And specifically to be an offensive catcher with the grueling nature of playing that position and how he impacts the pitching staff, the catching position is relevant far more than any other defensive position in my mind. And I understand he's breaking records as an offensive catcher. He's got the most home runs ever by a catcher. He is having the best offensive season arguably a catcher has ever had. I know Piazza hit for high average. I know Johnny Bench is Johnny Bench. I know Yogi Berra is Yogi Berra. I get it. He's arguably having the greatest offensive season in a time where it's harder to hit than ever that we have ever seen a catcher have. He broke Mickey Mantle's record for switch hitting home runs. And I know it's not just about breaking records, right? Because as someone pointed out on Twitter, and I saw it, and it's 100% correct, Judge broke the rookie home run record in 17 and had Altuve beat by everything but batting average, and they gave the MVP to Altuve, and I was pissed about it back then. So it's not just about breaking records, but we're talking about an excellent defensive catcher who has now hit more home runs than any catcher in baseball history, has now hit more home runs than any switch hitter in history, including Mickey Mantle. And obviously that's who he broke the record from, Mickey Mantle. And not only that, he currently, as it sits today, has led the Seattle Mariners to the division lead when they have only made the playoffs once since 2001 and haven't won a division since 2001. And even though they might be the third division winner and not get the bye and have pretty much the same place where the Yankees are, where they're hosting a wild card series, I still put a premium on winning the division. And I will tell you this. I think Judge is having the far better year, the far better player, and he's going to have to hit landmarks. But if he hits 60 home runs as a catcher and the Seattle Mariners win their division, I don't think anyone, any Yankee fan, Aaron Judge himself, anyone, I know that I was listening today and Evan Roberts was screaming about it like it's the dumbest thing and preposterous for anybody else to win the award than Aaron Judge. The New York Yankees could possibly have 9 hitters who have 20 home runs. Cody Bellinger is having a great year. I heard Evan go, well, it's not like the Mariners suck. You know, Rodriguez is having a hell of a year and a good player. And, you know, Randy Arozarena is a really good player. The Yankees lineup is full of guys having 30 home run seasons. They're going to have 3 separate guys with 30 home run seasons. Giancarlo Stanton's got a 900 OPS along with him. Like, to make it seem like Aaron Judge is the only... That was last year. This Yankee lineup, as much as they need Judge, obviously, and he's important, and he's the best hitter in the world, it's not like it's just him and Soto this year. The Yankees have a lot... Trent Grisham, Ben Rice, Giancarlo Stanton having the best regular season arguably of his entire Yankee career. I know he missed half the year, but he was there while Judge was injured and carrying them. You got 20 home runs from 8 different guys. And I'm not trying to besmirch Judge. He's having a great year and he should be the MVP, but if a switch-hitting catcher leads a team that hasn't won the division since 2001 to a division title and hit 60 home runs, I don't know how anyone could quibble with the idea of that guy winning the MVP. I just don't. And let's be fair about Judge defensively. He didn't play right field for a month, and right now he's half a player. For a month, he didn't play the position at all. He was injured for 2 weeks, didn't play the outfield for 2 or 3 weeks at all. So we're talking about a guy for a little, like a fifth of the season didn't play a position. And out there right now is half a player who really can't make throws. As opposed to a catcher who plays a gold glove caliber catcher. Like, I'm just saying there is a conversation. The Judge defenders want to make it seem that his numbers have now are so good, and they are, but his numbers are so good, a discussion is disrespectful. I disagree with that. I disagree with that. We are watching a special season from a position that makes it tough to have a special season. It just does. It just is. And it's just a fact. And if the Yankees win the division, done. If the Yankees pull this off, and Judge, who's hot as a firecracker right now, if the New York Yankees catch the Toronto Blue Jays and win the division and get a bye, then I don't care what Cal Raleigh does. This is about importance. Like, it is about valuable, and I put an emphasis on the division. If Aaron Judge and the New York Yankees win the division, debate is over. The debate is over. At that point, they'll probably be the one seed. He would be the one seed in the American League. They would win a division and have a bye, and he would have every statistical advantage outside of home run and RBIs. Conversation over. But if he's the four seed in the American League playoff, with the highest payroll in the American League, with a team full of guys who've hit 20 home runs, for a fifth of the season didn't play the position, and for half the season hasn't been able to throw, and that guy's breaking records for switch hitting, catchers, more home runs than Ken Griffey Jr.'s ever hit, hits 60, to be the fourth man in American League history to have 60 home runs, and led a perennial loser to a division title, I do think there's a conversation. I do think there's a conversation. And I'm not saying that guarantees him the MVP if he does those things. I think it's hard not to give it to him, to be honest with you. But I don't think any Yankee fan or Judge supporter or anybody who puts OPS and WAR over everything else should have a major problem with him winning the MVP. I'm sorry. That's how I feel. As much as I love Judge, and there are landmarks he has to hit to overcome the advantage Judge has statistically, I put a lot of weight on the catcher position. I put a lot of weight on winning a division. And I also think the Yankees are better than Seattle with a deeper roster and better team. And if they win their division and beat the Houston Astros out for the division, I'm going to put a lot of emphasis on that. That's all I'm saying. It's not that I think they have to hand him the trophy. I'm not saying he's having a better year than Judge. I'm not saying he's more warranted than Judge is. I'm just telling you, as great as the numbers are for Judge, if you get 60 and a division title, I don't think any Yankee fan should be able... I wouldn't be upset. I wouldn't argue with it. I wouldn't be upset. I would be more upset about 2017 when Altuve beat him out for the division, for the MVP, than I will be about Cal Raleigh beating him out. It's a special season that Cal Raleigh's never going to duplicate, ever. Ever. That I don't know when we'll see another catcher ever do it. The position is so demanding. But Judge is the better player. Judge is the better offensive player. Judge is the better player. If I'm picking a team tomorrow, Aaron Judge. Any day of the week, twice on Sunday. It's not even close. We all get that. But I do think Kyle Raleigh's done enough to make it a conversation, certainly. And if he hits certain landmarks and that team wins the division, I wouldn't be upset at all if he wins it over Judge. Eli in Hillside. What's up, Eli?
Yeah, what's up, Chris? How you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
So when I hear what you're saying, like, Kyle Raleigh is definitely having an historic season.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing great things, historic things that we've never seen. But when we're taking into account who should be the MVP, we should not be looking at surpassing Mickey Mantle or doing things that a catcher has never done. Who is the more valuable player, him or Aaron Judge? I don't think it's a question. I think Aaron Judge is definitely a more valuable player to his team. So I can definitely have Judge Trout.
What makes you say that?
When he's not there. He's doing more for his team. Like you said, he's a better player. You would pick him for your team more than you would pick out Riley.
Yeah, but again, we've seen this. So then, like, even for a last place team, it's just whoever has the best season?
You would pick him more than you would pick Kyle Riley, then.
Yeah, but that doesn't. But it's not necessarily. No, not necessarily. I don't think that necessarily. No.
Well, you pick him over
because he's a better player. I grant it. He's a better player. No doubt. No doubt. He's a better player. I would pick a lot of guys before I pick Kyle Riley because I don't know if I expect him to duplicate it. Like, just because I wouldn't, I'll be honest, let's think of other players in the American League I would pick over him. Like, Judge isn't the only one I would pick over Cal Raleigh. But they're not going to win the MVP. And Cal Raleigh, like, we make it sound like Cal Raleigh's not valuable to his team. How could you possibly say that? You think they win the division or go to the playoffs without his 50 home runs and his ability to catch and be a gold glove catcher? You think they make the playoffs without him?
No chance, and the Yankees wouldn't either be a good team.
I think they're better than Seattle. If Judge without the Yankees without Judge have a better chance of being a winning team than arguably Seattle without Cal Raleigh.
Okay.
How many good players are on Seattle?
Not many.
How many 800 OPS guys are on Seattle compared to how many 800 OPS guys are on the Yankees? Like, I'm just saying. I'm the Yankee shill. Like, I'm an Aaron Judge guy. He's the better player, there's no doubt. But we have to just acknowledge that other players exist and special seasons happen. He's having a significantly special season for an important position. And Judge right now, let's be fair, he's playing right field, which isn't nearly as important as catcher. He missed a month of playing the position, and right now, if there is a short fly ball to right field with a runner on third, I don't know if he can throw him out. And hasn't been able to do so, and hasn't even attempted that for the last month. We're talking about a catcher. If this is a first baseman, we're not even having a discussion. If Kyle Raleigh played first, I'm not even having a discussion right now. But he doesn't. He plays catcher. I do think if you want to say Aaron Judge is the MVP, I'm not going to argue with you. Not going to argue with you. But if you tell me that there's no debate, if you tell me that he has to win, if you tell me that saying anything short of Aaron Judge is the MVP is foolish, or you're an idiot, which I see constantly on Twitter. I know Twitter doesn't mean anything, but Evan was screaming about it, saying there's no debate. People putting up the stats going, if you think anyone else has a claim to the MVP, you're just an idiot or a Yankee hater. I don't think that's the case. I don't think that saying that this is a close MVP race and that Cal Raleigh has a chance is some sort of Yankee hate or you're being an idiot. Like, I don't. I think it's a fair conversation. Judge is the better player. And if they finish in the wild card, I probably give Judge the MVP. But it's about winning your division. If they win the division and he hits 60 home runs from the catching position, you're going to tell me he can't win the MVP?
Okay. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Okay, I disagree with you.
New York sports is more than a game. It's a lifestyle. WFAN is the only place where Yankees, Mets, Giants, and Jets fans come together and sound off. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
All right, 329. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. So outside of the MVP race in the American League, we had a couple of baseball games yesterday. And obviously yesterday afternoon, Jonah Tong, Pete Alonso, and the New York Mets took down the San Diego Padres in a game they desperately needed. And it was nice to see 8-strikeout performance from Tong. Got a little help early on when obviously in the first inning, which he couldn't get out of his last start against the Texas Rangers, in a little bit of trouble, right? He gets the blue pit from Arise. Then you get the double, or would-be double, from Machado that goes off the wall, played really well out there, and thrown out at second base. It felt like that would have been, like, that was a turning point in the game early, off of the first inning he had last outing to, you know, I know he got the first out of the game, but, like, to have second and third, one out, Machado, you get a little blue pit, Machado hits one off the wall, like, things could have, although I don't want to make it seem like it absolutely would have because he pitched well the rest of the game, but that was just a big out. It was a big out to settle things down as opposed to having that feeling like, here we go again. And from that point on, he really settled in. He was spotting his fastballs. 8 strikeouts in the performance, did a good job. And, of course, the offense does enough. Pete Alonso with his 4th consecutive home run, the big home run from Nimmo, that kind of breaks the game open. Big win to take that series. And now they go take on the Washington Nationals who, you know, the Mets are just clearly better than the Nationals have had a tough season. They should go out and absolutely wipe the floor with the Nationals and take all three. That's what you're looking to do here. And the Mets, despite all of it and despite my concerns, and yesterday I opened up the show talking about the Mets pitching for the postseason because, and I got a bunch of responses. They got to get there first. They got to get there first. I am extremely confident that the New York Mets are going to the postseason. Yesterday was a big game for them. They kept them 2 games in front. Yeah, they're 2 games in front of the Cincinnati Reds, who would own the tiebreaker. So that's literally just 2 games. Same thing for the Diamondbacks. They're 2 in the loss column against the Diamondbacks, who, assuming that they catch the Mets, would probably win enough division games to give them the tiebreaker as well. The Giants, who the Mets own the tiebreaker over, are 3 games back. That pretty much puts them at 4. You could forget the San Francisco Giants with 9 to play. But you're still ahead of the Reds, Diamondbacks by 2 games with 9 to play. And I know that doesn't sound like a lot, and we just had the conversation about the Yankees maybe catching the Toronto Blue Jays at 3, which is really like 4 with the tiebreaker. If the Mets win some games, it's tough to make up 2 games. It's not easy with 9 left. And I fully expect the Mets to hold off. I really do. So I'm looking at postseason pitching performances, and that scares me. But I'm not overly worried about the Mets missing the postseason. I think they're going to do what they need to do and figure out a way to beat Washington. The Reds are still playing the Cubs. Diamondbacks still have games against the Dodgers. I know the Cubs have locked things up, but then they've got the Pirates, yes, and then they have Milwaukee to end the season, who could still be battling, although they won't throw their best pitchers because they're going to, although they have a break, who knows who they'll throw, to be honest with you, because they'll have the bye. But they are battling the Phillies for home field advantage throughout the postseason. So, like, it's still going to be tough for them, still going to be tough for the Diamondbacks, and the Mets should be able to take advantage of the Nationals. I feel confident that you will see the Mets in the postseason once they get there. I don't know how this pitching performance is, But yesterday went a long way, and Pete Alonso, that's what you're looking for, right? The other night, you have the big game from Lindor. You know what Soto's been doing. And now you got Pete on a four-game homer streak after kind of not hitting a lot of home runs for a long time. To go now four consecutive games with a home run and no doubt bombs to left center field. I mean, he's hitting these majestic shots to center and left center and right. Like, he's looking about as good as he's looked in a while. And if this team is trending in the right direction offensively, that's what you're hoping to carry this team. So I feel relatively positive about the Mets. I'm concerned about their pitching staff, but Jonah Tong did a good enough job where, I mean, could he be in the mix? Can you see him in the bullpen? We talk so much about the Yankees and the starters that they'll throw into the bullpen. Could you see Jonah Tong being, you know, thrown into the mix of a bullpen spot if he does not crack the top three, which I still don't think he would, even off of yesterday's performance? But Mets with a big win against the Padres to win that series. They go to take on the Nationals in what should be a successful series. We'll see if they stub their toe there. We'll have a different conversation come Monday if this weekend does not go well for the New York Mets. The New York Yankees have a ho-hum victory where, I mean, Max Fried was just dominant. That's about as good as we've seen Max Fried all year. In this season where now he's got 18 wins to lead Major League Baseball, he's had this incredible year, started the year just absolutely great, had that stretch where he really was struggling. But since the Red Sox series in mid-August, where he threw that one-run game where they lost to Bayo and the Red Sox won to nothing, since that moment, he's been really good. His last handful of starts now, and last night against, yeah, a dead Orioles team, but still has some guys who can hit, just absolutely mowed them down. 13 strikeouts, tying a career high, and looked every bit dominant. The body language was, I mean, he was feeling it. You know, they talk about starters. You have 10 starts where you're just dominant, 10 starts where you have nothing, and it's what you do with the 10 in between, similar to you win 60, you lose 60. It's what you do with the other 60 or other, you know, 40, whatever it is. But I mean, the body language, that was one of those 10 where he had everything working. He had the high fastball the last two games, and there's been some speculation that in Fenway that it's a little bit of a high gun that everybody seemed to pick up velocity. But he was throwing 98-99 in Boston. He was throwing 98-97 in this game last night on the high-rising fastball. He looks healthy. He's spotting everything, and I mean, him and Rodon are so important to this team going on a run. And if he's going to be a dominant pitcher like he was last night and the way he's pitched the last five, six, seven starts, that is a huge advantage for the New York Yankees. And especially right now when you're, as of today, this second, they'd be taking on the Houston Astros where, you know, clearly Crochet, if it's the Boston Red Sox, you feel like that's going to be a tough matchup going up against a pitcher as good as him. As great as Framber Valdez has been, I don't know if he's the same, and the Yankees have pounded him this year. I mean, that would be a huge advantage to have him. And then a couple other things have him pitching this way. And then obviously the offense explodes for seven runs, and they did it without a home run. How about that? Yankees scored seven without a home run. But the thing from this game that I find interesting, and the question that's going to come of it, one, you saw Caballero and Volpe both in the game, and I like Caballero, and he's having a good season since the trade deadline, and I still want to play him more than Anthony Volpe, or at least that's where we are right now. But he got picked off again. I'm just telling you, if Anthony Volpe did the same things that Caballero did, the Yankee fans would be all over him. But because he's replacing Anthony Volpe, and we all can't stand him, he's getting a pass on some really dicey base running. Like, that's just a fact. Yes, he steals bases at will, but he gets picked. He's been picked off, what, three times in the last five games? He's got to be a little bit less, you know, just reckless on the base path. And if any other Yankee player was doing it, we'd be killing him. We'd be talking Booney Ball and all. But he gets a pass. Nobody says anything. Nobody quibbles about Caballero. Why? Because he's replacing the player we hate, and we don't want to badmouth him in hopes that the Yankees will hear and play Anthony Volpe instead. But we have to be honest. He's a bit reckless on the base path. As great as he is at stealing bases, and I love the aggressive nature, you can't get picked off once. You can't get picked off two, three times a week. And Anthony Volpe last night gets a legs out a double with a great slide, immediately steals third base and leads to a run. Anthony Volpe, since the cortisone shot, has been a little bit better and generated a run last night. So we'll see. But the other question that is very fascinating is Rosario. Because it's unbelievable and it's uncanny. Rosario mashes left-handed pitching. As they saw a lefty last night, they played him at second base and gave Jazz the night off, which I don't think would happen in the postseason. But for the postseason, with Ryan McMahon's offensive struggles against a left-handed pitcher, although it hasn't happened all that much, when Rosario plays against left-handed pitching, he hits. And last night, yes, it was 7-0. Yes, they were probably going to win without this hit. And yes, Max Fried was unbelievable. But in the first inning, they have first and second, nobody out. Oh, excuse me, first and second, one out or two outs. Judge strikes out. Bellinger walks. Stanton hits a long fly ball, and you feel like, man, they got two runners on. Early on, a chance to score some runs. They're not going to do it. And he laces a ball down the left field line for a two-run double, and away the Yankees went. That was the biggest hit of the game to set them up for that win. He's been great against left-handed pitching. He's been great against left-handed pitching, and I wonder if in a postseason game against a left-handed starter, you could see Rosario play third base. I don't think they would take Jazz out. It would be McMahon. But the only question I have is, he's so good defensively. With a Max Fried on the mound or with a Carlos Rodon on the mound, if that's the matchup, say it's the Red Sox and it's Fried-Crochet game one, are you going to sacrifice that excellent defense at third base with those two, with left-handed Max Fried on the mound against all the right-handed hitters of Boston and how many ground balls we've seen to third base? Do you sacrifice the defense for the offense of Rosario? And that's going to be a fascinating question, and it's going to be an interesting one for Aaron Boone. Let's get to the calls here real quick. Let's go to Mike in Brooklyn. What's up, Mike?
Hey, C-Mac. How you doing today,
good, buddy? How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
It's crazy. I was just thinking about this. I can't believe it's the end of September already. One more month, it's going to be Halloween.
Amazing. Nuts.
You got to break out that flask for Halloween, man, when you walk around.
Absolutely, when I'm walking around with the kids. That's right. All right, so what do we got in the MVP race? I'm a little short for time, Mike.
Okay. I definitely think that, you know, if he hits 60, I was talking to Fleas about it as well. If he hits 60 home runs, I think he gets it because not only switch hitter, but also catcher. You know,
and thank you for the call, Mike. And I'm sorry to be short with you. We got to do picks coming up here. And to me, the division's important too. If he hits 60 and wins the division, and Seattle wins the division, I'm gonna have a tough time being upset he wins the MVP. I'm not saying he has to have it at that point because that's how good Judge has been, but I'm gonna have a tough time really being mad about it. Phil and Howell. What's up, Phil?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
What's going on?
I have a quick question for you before you have to cut me off.
Yeah.
Listen, on the Mets, if the Mets make the playoffs, which is, you know, pretty possible.
I think it's 80%. Yeah, good.
Yeah, I agree with that. On the playoff roster, do you think as far as relief pitching goes that they would have Helsley and both Stanek on the roster?
Yes.
You really do?
Yeah. I don't think that you think they, who are they going to replace him with? They traded they traded for Helsley. He throws 102 miles an hour. As bad as he's been, Reed Garrett's season just ended. I don't know who else you're going to go to. There's no doubt. And Stanek was arguably, outside of Diaz, your best reliever last year in the postseason. There's no way those guys aren't on the playoff roster. Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stuart?
Morning, C-Mac.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
It's a novelty. No home runs and a shutout.
How about that? No home runs, and they scored 7 runs. They found a way to do it.
Why can't they do it more often?
Oh, I don't know. What, you want them to hit less home runs? I don't. I'd like them to hit more. I'd like them to hit home runs more often. That's what I would like.
Well, true. Let me ask you.
Yeah.
Would you sign Grisham? Would you sign Grisham?
I hear you. I hear you. And I'm sorry, Stu, but I got to break because I got to do the segment, the big segment. No. And I hate saying that because I love him. I love Trent Grisham. I do. He's having a great year. I love him. It depends on what the number is. If the contract is extremely reasonable and short, maybe. But I put Bellinger over him. I'd rather have Bellinger, and I can't imagine them signing both. And quite honestly, if the money's big, like, he's never done this before, ever. His record, his 17 was the most home runs he ever hit before this. And he's had seasons where he's played 150 games, had 600 at-bats. It's not like he's been a bench player. He was for the Yankees last year, but he's had seasons where he's played. I can't bank on him doing this again, and I can't give him big-time money. Honestly, I hate to say this. I think I'm happy giving him the qualifying offer and getting picks when he signs somewhere else. And I love him, and I wouldn't be upset if they bring him back. And if they can't sign Bellinger because someone gives him some outrageous contract and the Yankees don't match it, then I'm open to bringing him back. But I'd rather have Bellinger, so my gut, and I just don't know if you're going to get this again. I feel more confident you get another Bellinger season like this than you get another Trent Grisham season like this. And plus the ability to play multiple positions and everything and just how good he's been. I can't, and I hate saying it because I love Trent. I didn't want him traded, and I expect big things from him down the stretch. I expect him to be good in the postseason, all of it. He was great in the postseason against the Mets in the wild card series for the Padres, and then very good against the Dodgers in the next round. Sorry. I just don't know if I can do it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue. Put WFAN in your contact list. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Football Sunday. So good to me. How does that not make you smile? Makes me smile. I know Marco can't get enough of it. He likes it better than ABBA. All right.
By a lot.
All right, here we go. Week number 3. Real quick, just to keep us abreast of the situation, we don't have to go through all the picks, but after all of us going 1-4 in week 1, after week 2, Marco completely redeemed himself and went 4-1 this week, 5-5 on the season. I went 3-2 last week, just getting the two locals wrong. I got all the other three picks correct, so I'm 4-6. Fleegs went 2-3 to be now in last place at 3-7. So Marco at 500, I'm at 4-6. Fleegs 3-7. As we head into a week number 3, Fleegs, since you're in last place, you can start us off. Where are we going today?
All right, well, see, like, Marco took the elevator to get out of the basement. Yeah. I'm on the escalator, so I'm going to get there. It's just going to take a little bit longer.
Okay.
Game number one, give me the Chargers -2.5 over the Broncos. This is simply, the Chargers have looked better of the two teams in the first couple of weeks. You know, the Broncos probably should have won last week in Indianapolis. They didn't. The Chargers dominate on Monday night. I don't really care that it's a short week. Harbaugh looks like he has this team playing at a different level. He looks like he has Justin Herbert playing at a different level. That's been so much of a running game, at least it was last year, and we thought maybe we'd get that with Harbaugh again. But they're really opening things up in the passing attack. Herbert looks good, so I like the Chargers there. I still believe in the Broncos overall this season, but they look to have started a little bit slower. Game number two, I'll take the Rams +3.5 in Philly. The Eagles rolled to the Super Bowl and threw the Chiefs and to a championship last year. The one team that they had trouble with was the Rams. And I don't think that snow game helped the Rams as much as people think. I think the snow in that game helped the Eagles. McVay is a great coach. I think he'll have them ready for this game. I think they're a really good team. My concern going into the year, why I wasn't heavy on them on, you know, overs, divisions, everything, was the health of Matthew Stafford. And Stafford looked pretty darn good the first couple of weeks. The Eagles, if you have a weakness on that team defensively, it's in the secondary and between Nacua and Adams. I think the Rams can exploit that. And I think they want this win after thinking they should have won the playoff game last year. So give me the Rams. And game number three, Seahawks -7.5 at home against the Saints. Seahawks, good team. Saints, they stink. Doesn't really get much more complicated than that. And then for the two locals, I'm so furious at myself for taking the Jets. I said it when we did the segment. Marco wasn't here. I said, this is stupid. You're getting in front of a moving train. But I did it. I'm going to go with my gambling guts this time, which I didn't do last week. And this is going to be surprising, but I think the Jets are the pick here. This line should be over a touchdown. Everything we've seen from these two tough games, like, the Bucs have been in close games, but against good teams. The Jets were non-competitive last week. I think they respond. I mean, if they don't respond, I don't care about the talent. I don't care about the quarterback. If they don't respond, you can close the book on Aaron Glenn. Enough. We don't have to do the 3 or 4 years with him if they don't show up for this game. They don't have to win it. They have to cover. And in the Sunday night game, I don't think the Giants are going to win, but I think they're going to be close. So of the two kinds of pain, getting blown out by the Chiefs or being in one of these typical Chief games where they find a way to win late because that's what they do, I think that's what we see on Sunday night. So I'm taking both locals plus the points.
All right, both locals. Again, you asking for it. I want to do the same thing, but I don't know if I can. We'll get to it. Marco, you're up.
I'm not going to belabor too much. I'm with Fleegs on the Chargers on the lane, the 2.5 against the Broncos. Look, part of it is just Harbaugh and what it is. I'm also down on the Broncos as opposed to you guys. I think they're going to have a, you know, you say a bounce back year. They were way too high last year. This is not as good a team as everybody seems to make it seem. And I think Bo Nix is also going to have a letdown season. He's already on his way to that. And I like the Chargers. And I think they're getting the style of Jim Harbaugh. So give me the Chargers laying the 2.5. The other one I'm going to take is give me the 49ers laying the 2.5 against the Cardinals. I understand that Brock Purdy is probably not going to play. They're leaving out hope and, you know, his toe is getting better. I don't care. Mac Jones, Brock Purdy, Kyle Shanahan, I'm good. So, and I also think the Cardinals are a bit of a fraud. So I'm good with the 49ers, especially the fact that they're going to play a tight game, but I expect them to win. I'm only laying 2.5 here. So just the field goal, I like the 49ers. Going to Monday night, I love the Ravens laying the 5.5 against the Lions. Look, Detroit with a monster bounce back. I took them last week. Thank you, Detroit. Helped me out with Dan Campbell. I think the Lions are going to be fine. I'm a little down on the fact that I don't know if they're going to be what they were last year and the one seed and this team marching to the, that I think is a bit much. I think the Packers are the class of that division, but I don't think the Lions are falling off the planet. But I love the Ravens on the mission after week one with the Bills. Then they lay the wood against the Browns. This is a team that I feel like is going to steamroll and dominate through a lot of the regular season, taking the anger from the last however many years where they've fallen short, plus you get the, you know, kick to the groin in week one with the Bills. I feel like it helps fuel them for most of this season. This is a big spot just to be able to show that they can flex their muscles, and I think they will. And I think this is also tough for the Lions to go on the road in Baltimore. So give me the Ravens laying the 5.5. For the locals, all of us are a little lost on these locals because we don't know. We want to believe. We don't believe. We kind of believe. Not really sure. I'll start with the Bucs and the Jets. I actually think it's better for the Jets that Tyrod Taylor is playing as opposed to Justin Fields. Now, I know I'm not a Justin Fields guy. I'm not that guy. I think Tyrod Taylor gives them a better element. I think he gives them a little bit of stability. I do. However, I'm not taking the Jets. I just can't take the Jets. Everything tells me to take the Jets because I like Tyrod Taylor. I think the locker room likes Tyrod Taylor. I think Aaron Glenn likes Tyrod. I think everybody responds to Tyrod Taylor. So give me Baker Mayfield and the Bucs laying the 6.5. Mm-hmm. For the other one, look, all common sense says the Giants coming home after putting up that performance with the Chiefs' offense struggling the way it has, that the Giants should be able to keep this close and maybe even sneak out a win against a team that's really a shell of what they've been.
Yep.
However, you now want me to put money on the New York Giants on Sunday Night Football at home against Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and Travis Kelce.
And like, Spagnuolo.
Think about that for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it. I'm sorry. Give me the Chiefs laying the 5.5. This line should be bigger. Again, it's for the idea that people are completely out on the Chiefs, and all of a sudden the Giants gave everybody hope because they look like not only a functional offense, and a dynamic offense last week.
Yeah.
I expect their defense to play much better and their offense to play much worse. This is going to be one of those painful losses, but it's going to be my more than 5.5. Give me the Chiefs laying the 5.5.
All right. Look at you. You're the only smart one because I have a feeling I'm going to fall into the trap, but let's get to it. Start out of town here. I like last week, it felt like me and Fleeks talked about it. We were trying to find dogs. I'm going all three dogs out of the outside of the locals here, and I love it because I'm going against both of you. Give me Denver plus 2.5. The Chargers back to back primetime games did not play well in the second half with Herbert against the Raiders, did almost nothing offensively. The Denver Broncos, divisional opponent, coming off a disastrous loss. I just think this is a spot that, you know, it's tough. I look back on it. The last eight times that a team was coming off back-to-back primetime games, coming home as the favorite, 1-7 against the spread. I just have a feeling this is a tough spot. I like the Broncos defense. It hasn't played as well as it should. I think they're better than this. And I just think coming off these two wins, coming home, I think they're due for a letdown. I'm against both of you. Give me the Denver Broncos plus 2.5 at the Chargers. I'm going to take another team here that I think is going to have one of those games where they just don't continue what they're doing. Give me Cleveland plus 7.5. Green Bay's had some issues with their offensive line. The defensive front of the Browns is one of, if not the best defense in front of football. And if you look at the actual underlying numbers, even though they did get blown out by the Ravens, defensively they actually had a pretty good game against the Ravens. Derrick Henry did absolutely nothing, and I just have a feeling this is a tough game. Green Bay plus 7.5. It's a touchdown in Cleveland, and I know they're terrible, and we'll see if Joe Flacco can do anything. But a desperate team, as bad as they are at 0-2, desperate for a win, opportunity to really get after Love and give this Green Bay team its first real kind of like easy game where they assume they're going to win. I'll take the Cleveland Browns plus 7.5 at home against Green Bay. And then give me Houston on the road in Jacksonville plus 1.5. I just think Houston's better than Jacksonville. I still think that, you know, Lawrence has played a miserable brand of football here for a stretch now. I think Houston had that game won. I still think they're a more talented football team. I'm getting 1.5. I know it's on the road. A desperate 0-2 Houston Texans against a lousy Jacksonville team. Give me them plus 1.5 on the road in Jacksonville. And then I'm going to do it. I mean, I'm going to do it. The Jets, I think, is easier than the Giants. I do think the Jets are going to keep this game close. Tampa Bay, again, coming home 2-0. Kind of lucky to be there, quite honestly, with some big-time performances from Baker Mayfield down the stretch, down the end of those games, with big-time throws and big-time drives to beat Atlanta, and then what we saw last week. I just think the Jets can figure out a way. I agree with you. I think the offense has a better chance. As long as they can run the football, I think the Jets have a better chance to have an offensive game with Tyrod Taylor than they do Justin Fields. I think there's a chance to have a passing attack if they can run the football, which the entire offense is predicated on. I think they keep it close. 6.5 just feels like a lot of feels like, to Fleeg's point, you would think that the ugly performance off Buffalo, 2-0, coming home, and it's not even a touchdown. I'm going to take the Jets plus 6.5. And then this is it. Mustard's last stand. I'm going to go with the Giants here plus 5.5. I just have a feeling They're going to be able to keep this game close. Kansas City is not itself. Kansas City traditionally, even against bad teams, keeps these games close. I have no real reason other than the gambler in me says this is the way Kansas City plays football, and the Giants did find a way to put up some offense. I've been saying it all year. I think there's a chance Andrew Thomas plays. I don't know if there's much, but still, Bo has been better. The offensive line played well. I know it's not Chris Jones. Dallas doesn't have much of a pass rush, but I just have a feeling they're going to be able to block it up enough to give you a somewhat of an offensive performance. I don't know whether Worthy's going to be healthy enough, and I just have a feeling the Chiefs are going to play a game that they typically play and win by a field goal. So give me the Giants plus 5.5. The last time I'll take them all year if they lose, I promise you. This is it.
Mustard's last chance? Is that
what
Colonel?
What'd I say? Colonel?
I was going to jump in before he threw it to the update and ask, like, did you say that because of your
Mike's Amazing?
Just your deal with Mike's Amazing? Or was that just a random Freudian slip?
No, what? It's Colonel Mustard, isn't it? No, I'm thinking of the game Clue. Oh, my God, I'm losing my mind.
Mark, I'm so glad you caught on to that, too.
I'm such an idiot. Custard's last stand. I had Colonel
Oh, God.
Did I say mustard?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
oh, you did. Oh, my God. And then when you said Colonel Mustard, I'm like, yeah, that sounds right. I just want it to be known they didn't correct me. I got custard all on my own. Obviously, that's incorrect, yes.
Wait, hang on.
Did you just say custard?
Oh, by custard? So it's not mustard, it's not custard. No, it's not a dessert, man.
It's custard.
Custard. Custard, 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 same thing. Let's get to the update.
I mean, he was a colonel, lieutenant colonel.
Yeah, no, well, I know he's a colonel.
Oh, boy.
It happens.
You have the mustard and the custard.
Maybe I do have mustard on my mind. Maybe I do have mustard on my mind. And then when you said Colonel Mustard, I said, yeah, that's right. That's what got me.
And people, if they're watching on YouTube, they saw this. Anyone else, the confidence on your face.
Well, I just know when I said Mustard's last stand, I just looked at him.
Colonel Mustard, of course. He made the last stand. Why wouldn't Colonel Mustard make the last stand?
With the candlestick. I remember that. He did.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.